Welcome to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean.
And you're listening to New England's foremost addiction and mental health program. Abby, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Tonight we're talking about interventions. First of all, we're going to find out how to determine when the right time for an intervention is, what happens during an intervention, how you prepare for it, and what recovery looks like for both the person going through it and their family. And we have three guests joining us, three of our favorite people in the world, obviously, Mr. Woody Giesman, founder and CEO of Right Turn, and a certified intervention professional, or CIP, and parents Ann and Jim, who've been on the show before. They have been through an intervention for their son, and they've come here to kind of share their experience. So we have both sides of it, Abby. We have the interventionist, the professional interventionist, and we have the family of somebody who's been through it. So welcome, everybody, to Right Turn Radio.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Jim.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Abby.
Welcome, Ann.
Hi.
And I'm so glad everybody's here because I think it's such a mysterious thing. We've seen millions of representations of interventions on television shows and all things like that, which makes everybody want to go home and try one. But yeah. Our one piece of advice is don't try this at home without a professional. So don't try this at home. If you have someone in your family who needs help, get professional help so that they can walk you through this model.
And there's a lot of people who say they do it, and Woody, you can talk a little more about that. Before we go any further, how would people go about finding an interventionist?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. If you were to go to the AIS, which is the Association of Intervention Specialists, the AIS website, you can identify interventionists by state. You can also go to the CIP website, which is the Certified Intervention Professional website. And you can also go to the ARISE website and identify an interventionist. One good way to identify a good interventionist is to talk to a few. I recommend that.
Okay, good. Now, so how do you know if someone needs an intervention, Woody?
How do I know if when? Well,
like what if you're in a family with
what's in place? What needs to be in place?
But what do you see? Like someone comes to you and says, "You know, we think we need an intervention." What questions do you ask?
Yeah, well, I think you're talking about the first call.
Yeah,
you know, when someone makes that first call to an interventionist, What I think I hear people say is that their family member or a loved one is struggling, and what I hear most of the time is I hear a description of this wonderful person who is not that person anymore. They
right.
say, "Oh, he's such," you know, if it were a young child, a son, they would say he was such a great guy, and they would give me this great description, but then they would give me an indication that somewhere along the way that changed.
So, Ann and Jim, can you remember making that first phone call and what went on before it and how you did it?
Yes, Abby. Clearly, we knew something was wrong in our home environment. I was home with our son, and I was watching him on the couch and realizing that he wasn't performing up to his capabilities. I was bugging Ann at work, so it was creating tension between us. And I was trying to convince her of something that I really couldn't convince her of because I was seeing much more of it than she was. And gradually, by going to Woody and speaking with him and realizing that we really weren't quite ready, that made us understand that we needed to do some more work as a couple and as a family to be ready for the intervention.
What's not ready mean? And you were talking about this before. And
I didn't want to believe that my son had any kind of problem with drugs or alcohol. You know, it's like I knew it, but I didn't want to face it. I wasn't ready to make the difficult steps that I needed to take. It was very, very difficult, as Woody said. You know, here is this wonderful child that you brought up, and you saw all the good things, and all of a sudden, things were not so great. We knew for a long time that he was not working up to his potential, but still didn't want to face it. Still did not have the strength or the courage or the support to do it. We needed professional help. You know, when someone has cancer, if someone has some kind of medical problem, you go to a doctor. It's very difficult to know what to do when someone has an addiction problem.
So you said you found out, you took a hair sample and you found out that your son was actually doing a number of drugs,
mm-hmm.
but you still weren't ready. What did you do to get ready so that you could actually?
Well, I think that was the first step in opening my eyes. When we spoke with Woody the first time, we went in and met with him. You know, he told me point blank, I was not ready. You know, he knew that I was still doing a lot of the but what if, and...
Well, can I interrupt you there for a second?
Sure.
Because I want Woody to kind of chime in here. When you told that to Anne, what behaviors in her were you seeing that made you say that to her?
Well, it's interesting because she had told me this wonderful story about a son whose brain had changed, and I saw the frustration going on with the two family members, and I just felt like they would benefit from a little bit of education about substance use and the effects of substance use on the brain, because clearly the son that they had described to me was not the son that they were living with now. His brain had changed, but I wanted them to also understand that their son's addiction had not only impacted his brain, but it had also impacted them in such a way that they weren't seeing clearly and that they needed just a little bit of help there. I was willing to invite everyone into the intervention process, but I just felt that they would need a little bit of help if they were to be educated in the disease of addiction.
Yeah. So you heard that, Anne,
mm-hmm.
and Jim.
Yes.
What was the next step for you?
We went to a workshop that Woody had suggested, and we met with Diana Clark. She has workshops the first Saturday of every month at Right Turn, and it happened to be that we saw Woody at the end of April, and at the beginning of May, we went to her workshop. We listened to her. She made suggestions in terms of taking a hair sample and really seeing in black and white what was going on, because I was still in denial. Her explanation, as Woody said, of the brain and how the brain works, you know, it became clearer that we needed the education in this, you know, world of addiction that we knew nothing about. You know, we felt like we were very educated people, but this was an area that we didn't know about.
So how do you take those folks? I'm sorry to interrupt. How do you take those folks and get them ready? What do you, Woody, have to do as the interventionist to kind of fertilize the ground and get it ready for the intervention?
Well, I think taking people out of that kind of crisis mode first,
mm-hmm.
and helping them understand that there's no shame here, and that something can be done in a kind and gentle approach. But it's their job to be parents again, and just to let a professional do. If there's going to be any type of confrontation, then let the professional do the confrontation, but also go to a board-registered interventionist who's going to be able to kind of put together a full comprehensive plan.
So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about intervention, and we're going to talk with Jim and Ann about what that process looked like to them getting ready. We're going to talk with Woody Giesman, a professional interventionist, about how he prepares and the dynamics he works with. You're listening to Right Turn Radio. We'll be back right after a break. We have three guests joining us tonight. Woody Giesman, who actually is the founder of this radio show as well.
That's right.
But tonight he's a guest, and he's founder and CEO of Right Turn, and he is a Certified Intervention Professional, or CIP. We also have Ann and Jim, who are parents who went through the intervention process with their son. So I'd like to ask you, Woody, who should be involved in an intervention?
Well, you know, I mean, that's an interesting question, because I think that anyone and everyone who cares about this person, including the individual, needs to be involved in the intervention. You know, how many times do we hear, oh, geez, they're not going to go to treatment unless they've hit bottom? And I say, absolutely not. We're not going to wait around for someone to, you know, have an overdose to put them into a treatment program. That's kind of like saying, you know, they have diabetes, let's wait for them to go into a coma before, you know. So the thing is that anyone who cares and loves, you know, family members, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, you know, I've had school teachers and priests, rabbis, and the chief of police in interventions before, you know.
Well, how long from that first call to the actual intervention? I know it's probably pretty variable, but what's the average time it takes from when you get a call from a family to when you actually perform the intervention?
Yeah, you know, another good question. I mean, that's the reason why you want to go with a board-registered interventionist, is because there's a lot of work that needs to go on. As Ann and Jim will testify, there's a lot of pre-intervention work that needs to happen. You know, I have to take a full history and kind of gain a better understanding of what would be an appropriate level of care for this person, and then look at all of the options, whether they're insurance driven or fee for service. If you're paying for a program, some people are fortunate that they can pay for a program, but treatment is treatment. You can get it where you get it, when you get it, how you get it, you know. But I don't think that we have to wait around for someone to hit the bottom. I think we need to invite everyone in that cares about this person, and from there, from that point, you know, we need to move ahead with a plan. And when that plan is in place, you're ready for the intervention.
So, Ann and Jim, what was some of the work you did to get ready for your son's intervention?
Well, Abby, we really had to get on the same page. that was the first thing. And I think by sitting with Woody and talking with him, and by going to see Diana Clark, we realized that both of us needed to come together to help our son as much as we could, realizing that recovery was his job. Ann mentioned we took a hair sample and we sent it off to be assessed, and we came back together with Woody with a list of a half a dozen things that were found in our son's hair.
Like what?
I would really need to go to Woody on it, because they were things that I really didn't
they
quite understand.
There were
a couple. There were opiates mostly. It did say cocaine and it did say heroin, but then it was other things that were much more medically involved, or you know, specific that I couldn't relate to. But when we shared them with Woody, he said, we've got some work to do, and we need to do something quickly here, because unless we step in, this could be a serious a problem to deal with. So that was one of the pieces that really got us on the same page, and it got me from being angry at Ann and Ann from being angry at me, for both of us to come together to help our son.
Yeah, I mean, the addiction takes a huge toll in the family, and it sounds like it was doing it to you guys.
Definitely it was.
And then I think that the next step was Woody explained, Woody showed us, like, different programs that would be available. You know, once he did the intervention, you know, we had to have a plan in place. And he showed us different programs that would be available, and we explored those with Woody to know where would be the best place for our son to detox and to become medically stable. Woody called the places and found out what was available and what was going to work. So there was a lot of, you know, back and forth on that. We would not have been able to do that ourselves. We had tried unsuccessfully 2 years before on an intervention with, you know, very well-meaning person helping us, but there wasn't a plan in place. You know, there was like detox for 3 days, and then it was very loose, so that you know, our son just went right back to what he was doing, and it, you know, it was around Thanksgiving 2 years ago, 2 years before that, so 4 years ago, and it was like the worst Thanksgiving that we ever had. This year we had the most wonderful Thanksgiving, because we're all in recovery, we're all on the same page, we're doing wonderful together. But there was a lot of work before the actual day of the intervention.
So, Woody, what happens during an intervention?
Well, you know, an intervention is a time when everyone has an opportunity to express how their concerns for this individual, and sometimes it's very scripted, you know. But, you know, as an interventionist, I always ask the family to allow me to drive the intervention. Let me be the one who sets the tone and kind of goes through this structured hour and change that we're going to go through to get the best result. You know, it's really kind of appealing to the individual, and in Ann and Jim's case, their son, and let him know that the whole family is in crisis. The whole family needs help. And this is not just about their son, you know. And, but, you know, they're all here because they love you and care about you, and they want the best for you, and they've decided that you deserve the best. And so we've made decisions for you today. And so it's really about taking him from this kind of contemplative state and along that state, the stages of readiness and willingness for change. And in the end, I need to get a yes. We're going to treatment, and I've made all of the arrangements, and I've let him know that I'm going to be there the whole way while he's in treatment and after treatment.
I see. I can only imagine the kind of improvisational work you have to do on these things, because I can imagine, you know, and I know the dynamic often is a little crazy. So Jim and Ann, I'm just interested, we're going to go to break fairly quickly, but I'm just interested in did it play out as you expected it would, or was there any surprises during the time that you guys did the intervention?
Yes, in the long run, it really did play out just the way we hoped it would. We told our son we would support his recovery, but nothing else. And, of course, he had a couple of things he needed to do before he could go away to get help. But today was the day, or that day was the day, and we needed to deal with it then. and other things could wait, that recovery was the most important item on the plate.
So he had to, he got the message loud and clear. When we come back, we're going to talk more about interventions and how it impacts the family, what a professional interventionist does, and how he supports during and after the process. You're listening to Right Turn Radio on WRKO 680 AM. We have a caller. Drew, welcome to Right Turn Radio. Do you have a question or a comment for our guests?
Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Ann. Hi, you too.
Hi, Drew.
So I go to the Right Turn family meeting, which perhaps you'd like to pitch for people, families that are dealing with this. I think one of the things that was so helpful for me, and I'm wondering if you could talk about it for a minute, is as a part of the journey to intervention, the understanding that there's a difference between the person that you love and the addiction. And once you can sort of take those two things apart a little bit, it really makes a huge difference. I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Yes. The addiction totally takes over. The person that you raised is no longer the person, the same person. The addiction totally takes over. The thinking is you feel like you're supposed to be talking to an intelligent, rational person, but they're not. Their brain has changed. The drugs and alcohol have just changed their personality, have changed their thinking. They're acting like a child instead of the adult that they are supposed to be. I realized that, I could address that.
Well, and you were about to say something before we went out for the break where you were talking about setting up, putting things in place for your son's intervention.
Yes, we had lots of questions. What if he does this? What if he says this? We went through all of that with Woody. Woody asked us what kinds of things could interrupt or could make this difficult. And we went through all of those things with Woody. He asked us so many questions. And he had answers to those. If Jim and I had done this on our own, we would have listened to the excuses. We would have, if our son had a question or had a concern, we would have gone along with him. We would have backed off. We couldn't do that because we had answers to all of those questions and all of those concerns that he was going to address us with. We knew every step of the way. Because Woody was prepared, and Woody prepared us, and it was a very scary day. It was extremely scary.
Yeah, I'm sure it is scary. If you don't mind me responding to that, because if someone's struggling with substance use or some type of mental health issue, then an intervention could very easily turn into a debate or a negotiation, and this simply is a. An intervention and an organized intervention is when the families come together to say, we love you too much to pretend like this is okay anymore, and we have a good plan in place, and so leaving it up to the interventionist to do the confrontation, it doesn't turn into a debate, it doesn't turn into a negotiation, it doesn't turn into an argument. You allow the interventionist to drive it, because mom and dad need to become mom and dad again. And the most important thing as an interventionist, I say to a mom and dad, is your job is to say I love you and then cry. I want tissues. I want tears. Because the most tearful intervention is going to be the most successful intervention. We're not going to fight with you. We love you too much, and we believe in you. We know that that you've been struggling, you can get well, but we need to get well too. Our brain has changed just as much as your brain has changed.
Well, I think that's really obvious from the work that you guys have done together that the family did a lot of changing and that you helped the family change. And that's just, you know, it's not like you go in and you say, cut it out, and then everybody goes back to doing their same old things. It's that things really change and have to stay changed.
Well, that's a part of the negotiation in getting this person into treatment is to say, look, your mom and dad need a lot of help. And so if you, I promise you, if you go into this treatment program, I'm going to help mom and dad. Because mom and dad, well, they're really screwed up and they need help. And I've never found anyone who disagreed with me.
Right. Well, and what do you do when things, I mean, things, I've known you long enough to know that sometimes it takes an hour and sometimes it takes 24. What do you do if it doesn't work immediately?
Yeah, don't panic. It's okay. You know, the Johnson model of intervention would say, you know, that this person will change their mind between 24 and 72 hours. And that's applying some pretty significant type of consequences. You know, I'm more of an arise interventionist now that I'd really want to take my time getting to where we need to go, because when we get there, we have arrived. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to put a time frame on that. But, you know, intervention, an organized intervention is going to have about an 83 to 86% success rate when done well.
That's
most
a lot.
Most people go to treatment. You know, and that's the good news, especially if there are consequences. But I don't want it to turn into a fight. And please, if the consequences are going to be discussed, it needs to be done with a professional.
Well, I just want to you keep saying consequences, but give us an idea of the type of dynamic that you're working with in that situation. Can you give us an example?
Well, most people, you know, most young people, I'm going to say young people.
Because there's none of us in here.
If they've been, you know, if they've been doing drugs, you know, for a period of time, then they're probably acting out in a very kind of adolescent way. And so they're going to say things like, well, are you going to throw me out of the house? Are you going to, you know, you're going to. Are you going to punish me? Because they're starting this whole negotiation mm-hmm. thing. And I say, hey, look, you know, your family loves you and they really care about you. And this is what they want to support. They want to support you getting well and they don't want to support you staying sick. And there's a very, very big difference there. So there's kind of a fork in the road. There's a right turn. There's a wrong turn. Let's talk about the right turn. You go to treatment. You get well. The family gets well. But if you take the wrong turn, well, you can do that, you know. But, you know, right now your family wants to support you. If you walk away from this, then your family is probably not going to give you 100% support. And some things are probably going to go away.
So Anne and Jim, you had the day. You all sat. I'm sure there was crying. And your son chose to go to treatment?
Yes, he did.
How did you feel?
Well, it was a great load off our mind. It was just tremendous, because we knew that inside there was still our son.
No.
And the kid that we knew who was had so much potential that had been masked by drugs and alcohol. We knew a piece of it was done, but a huge piece was still left to be done. And I needed work. Our son needed work. We continued to meet with Woody. We continue to meet with him now and go to other support groups. Our son spent some time away in a program in Florida, decided to come back up here to Massachusetts, and lived in a program in Watertown. Coming back to our home wasn't an option, because we'd already failed at that one, and we didn't have to do that again to know what was going on there. And luckily, he stuck with it. He spent time in his second program, got a good get-well job, and gradually, after maybe 4 or 5 months, he started to come back as the person we knew, as his brain began to change and recovery got more solid.
So, Ann and Jim, we've talked a lot about setting up the intervention and all that. How do you maintain the changes you've done? How do you stay better? I mean, you talked about you did a lot of work, your son did a lot of work. How do you stay better?
Well, as I said, we've met many times with Woody. And in addition, we attend several parent meetings for people in recovery. We've been to Naranon and Al-Anon, and as well Learn to Cope. And we attend a meeting every other Monday night at Right Turn.
Which you founded, right?
Which we helped to found. Yes, that's correct. And it gives us an opportunity to stay charged up, but also to give back to people who are a different place along the recovery continuum than us. And hopefully we maintain where we're at.
We went to different meetings, but what was lacking is a professional to be involved in this process. And when we suggested, a parent group with Right Turn, there is professional help. Woody is there every week and leads the group and helps keep us all on track. And that professional part of it is present. And there's no other group that provides that as much as the parent group at Right Turn.
So Woody, how do you help families stay on track?
Well, it's interesting because when I'm doing the intervention on this individual who needs help, I'm making a promise to this individual and saying, you're not the only one in the room who needs help. Everyone in the room needs help. And so you're going to go into a treatment program, and I'm going to make sure that the family, in your case, Jim and Ann, are going to receive the treatment that they need as well. And I'm going to hold everyone accountable here. You know, I'm going to say, hey, have you ever been in individual therapy before? There's a family group, there's individual therapy, there's 12-step recovery, which can be very, very beneficial to some people. You know, there are many types of meetings that people can go to, ACOA meetings, which is for adult children of alcoholics, and so we need to explore what's going to be beneficial for you. Most of the programs that I send people to also have a family component as well. So I'm going to hold the family accountable there.
Well, I mean, one of the things that it sounds like is that you get everybody on the same page and get them to stop blaming each other. I mean, that's just one of the things that everybody gets on the same page and they all start having the same agenda.
Well, yeah, that's important, because there's an awful lot of shame and guilt that goes along with all of this. And if everyone can kind of come together for a change and stop fighting each other and start to get on this, as Jim and Ann keep saying, get on the same page. Hey, we're all in this together, and we're all, we've been fighting this addiction together. Now we're going to go into recovery together. And there's a big difference between, just staying clean and sober and actually getting into recovery.
Jim and Ann, I'm wondering what advice you give to these families that come into the group. What hope can you offer them?
Well, I think first and foremost is to get the education, listen to the advice that Right Turn is giving, because it works. Along the way, whether it was before or the day of the intervention or after, you do have doubts. Is this going to work? But Woody provided a lot of answers. He was our leader. He was our coach. It wasn't something that we felt we could handle ourselves. Even even the help that was given, that Woody arranged in terms of someone escorting our son to the recovery program. There were just so many things in place that made us more confident and less scared of the process. So the advice is to get the education, get the advice, follow the advice, because it worked.
And so how many folks come into this meeting, Jim?
In our case, it was Ann and myself and our other son. Mm-hmm. And each of us told our son, who had the addiction problems, how much we loved him and how much we knew that he could improve, and how we had faith in him, and that we all had growth to do. And it did work with our son. I know some people it takes longer, but I think what was really beneficial for us is we had an outsider leading the process, mm-hmm. and our son knew that we were both on the same page, and that he couldn't come to me, or he couldn't go to Ann, he couldn't divide us, and because we were afraid,
right?
Frankly.
So, can you tell us what Monday night at Right Turn in Arlington is the parents' meeting? Can you give us a little more info? What's the address there?
The Monday night meeting takes place at the Right Turn Center in Arlington at 299 Broadway. We're going to be meeting tomorrow night and then every other Monday night as well. You can look on the Right Turn website for a schedule, or if you're unsure, you can call Right Turn to be sure that you're coming on the right Monday night.
781-646-3800 is Right Turn's number. Jim and Ann, thank you so much for being on Right Turn Radio again. We love having you here. We love you're welcome back anytime. It's great seeing your work that you've done as a family, and seeing the help that you're giving other families now. And I just want to thank you for that. And Woody Geisman, founder and CEO of Right Turn, as well as a certified intervention professional. Thanks, Woody, for
being here. You're
welcome.
One quick disclaimer here.
Yes.
As a board registered interventionist, and I also hold the ethics chair,
yes,
I do not refer people to my program. I refer people to a lot of other programs, and it's my business to know which programs are doing the good work.
That's good to know, because it's really hard for parents to figure that out.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important components, is finding the right fit. And we know with your son that was really helpful.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank Jim and Ann and Woody for being here. You've been listening to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. Check us out at right-turn.org. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean. Remember, be safe and ask for help.